pastor. You can say, this is my church and this is my pastor. Praise the Lord. Does anyone know who owns this place? Somebody say us. Every one of us. When I started this church, I didn't put it in my name. I put it in our names. And I own as much as you own, and you own as much as I do. But we own it together. That's what a church ought to be, amen? It's our church. So you can say, this is my church. And these are our pastors. Now you don't own me, but almost. But you do own this church and this beautiful land. Brian, you have it looking so nice outside. My compliments. Not only are you a brilliant businessman, but Brian Christensen keeps the ground so beautiful. I really tell you. So, so pretty. And thank you for doing that. Pulled in. And I didn't know if I was at a golf course or at church. Looks so pretty. Anybody get hot today? Anybody still hot right now? You should come up and visit me in my office. Our air conditioner is broke in the upper area up there. And I've been hotter, but I didn't know when. I did go spend the afternoon with, part of the afternoon with this great cast of people. So dedicated, so in love with Jesus, and so appreciative to JR and D for your friendship. I don't know if we'd even know him wasn't for you all. And I'm indebted. I really am, JR. And if you guys don't eat at the Uptown Cafe, you're nuts. wait, let me put it in a nicer way. You're nuts. Yeah. That is the greatest place to go. I mean, it's just like going back to a diner, and even got our family come back from Texas and here tonight. Wave at me, sweetie. I'm so glad you're here. I mean, this is just a great, great place to meet and to eat. And you feel the presence of God. And there's live entertainment. My goodness, those guys are as good as Nashville that are singing there. So go see it. Go eat there and support them. How many believe we ought to support Christian businesses? Yes. I strongly do. Amen. So we've got Christian realtors. We've got Christian leaders in business and health food stores and you just name it, we've got it in restaurants, so support that. Let me talk to you a little bit tonight. I've been studying the Word of God about the anointing. I talked to these people this afternoon about the anointing from a message I'd preached to you many years ago, talking about the three anointings of David. How many, anybody remember that at all? Just raise your hand and I'll forgive you if you're fibbing a little bit so I'll know somebody listened, okay? I preached a message about the three anointings of David, and they're very valid anointings, and how God used this young man of 14 years old. Most rabbis believe he was about 14 when he ran toward a 9-foot tall. Can you imagine a guy a foot taller than that door frame over there and twice as wide? A 9-foot tall freak who was screaming at the nation of Israel, screaming every day. He would show up on one side of the valley of Ethlon, and there the Philistines would line up, and it was just almost like an unbelievable sight. And Goliath was standing in the middle, way taller than all of them, and then the valley, and then on the other hillside, all the Israelites, they would be standing shoulder to shoulder. And they would be maybe 200, 250,000. I have to check exactly how many, but at least a quarter of a million or more. And every morning, Goliath would cry out, "Where's your God? Come over here and send someone to fight with me. If you'll send someone to fight with me, and he beats me," and he was so arrogant, he was saying, "No one's going to beat me. But if he beats me, then we will all surrender to you. But if I beat him, you'll bow down before us. And if you know the story, this 14-year-old boy who was too young to be in the army, it proves you can't be too young to be in the army of God. Amen? This 14-year-old boy that was too young to be in the army is delivering food to his brothers. He had seven brothers from the house of Jesse. And he was delivering food, which was the custom, and for the leaders. He had some cheese and bread for the captains from his father. And he heard this taunting by this freak, this big, huge voice that was like he was amplified unbelievably. I mean, the Israelites were standing there, their knees were knocking, and they were shuddering, and they thought, who could possibly come against a power or an authority that's so loud and big and scary as this one Goliath? And David came on the scene, and he inquired, what's this noise? Now, I'm going to tell you something. If you didn't get it, there's a message right there. Satan is a bunch of noise. Now, I'm not minimizing the fact he's supernatural. Listen to me. But in comparison to the power of God, Satan is just a bunch of hot air. Somebody say amen. Listen, don't show one drop of any kind of concern or reverence or anything for Satan. This is the enemy of the soul of man. He has one desire, and that's to steal, kill, and destroy you. Satan never plays a house call to check on your welfare. He comes with a death penalty every time he comes to your heart and your mind. I don't care how innocent it may be. He's there to try to destroy you. And here's this loud noise, louder than anyone else, everything else. And David stops because he's distracted by, he's trying to talk to his brothers. And he said, who is that? And they said, this is the champion of the Philistines. This is Goliath. And you know, Goliath has like four brothers that are just like him, and they're massive, and it just went layers and layers of scary. And David said, what's he doing? He said, for 40 days he's been coming and standing up here and asking for a champion. And there are none. Our own king, who not only Josephus describes, but the scripture describes Saul as being a head and shoulders above the tallest soldier he had. Even their own king was in his tent, acting like he was busy when he was petrified that he may have to go represent that nation. So finally, David said, what's to be done with him? And they went, what do you mean, what's to be done with him? The king said, anybody that kills him gets, oh my, all these, and he went these accolades and everything. And David said, well, that's nice, but you know, the thing that bothers me more than anything else, I didn't care if he called Saul an idiot or me, but when he started talking about Jehovah, that's a different ballgame. You see, when the enemy comes to attack your mind, that's to be expected as living in this world we are, that the enemy will attack your mind. But when the enemy starts telling you God is anything less than God, that's when you should stand up. That's when you say, I won't listen to that. You say, me? You. That's where you make a stand and say, I will not listen to the voice of the enemy. You can't stop him from crying out day in and day out, but you can muffle it with the power of the Word of God. And so I learned so many treasures in this little story that we all have heard about. One of the great treasures is this, that David, and I've told you this before, David never one time spoke, look at me, listen, he never one time spoke the name Goliath. He said, who is this uncircumcised giant? Now you say, Well, was he just trying to pick a fight? No, not at all. You see, David knew that the voice of this man that was speaking to them, that said captivity, that said failure, that said defeat, was the voice of an uncircumcised giant. Now, what are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying this, that before Israel could pass from the Jordan River in the wilderness across into the Canaan of God, the promise of God, they had to go across Jordan. They had to go through a covenant agreement called circumcision. Every male was required. That was to mark every male as an Israeli, as an Israelite, as a Hebrew, versus the rest of the world. And so this man was not a circumcised, he wasn't in covenant. And here's all that David was saying. When he referred to Goliath constantly as being an uncircumcised giant, he was saying this: I'm not going to let any voice that's not in covenant with God speak into my life. You have to understand this. David wasn't being insulting. He was saying to this, you don't have the authority to override the word of God in my life. And the voices that come to you every day, the voices that come to me every day, the taunting that comes to you and tells you he can't, he won't, God doesn't care, you're on your own, anything of a variety of things that God says to you is nothing more than the voice of an uncircumcised or something that's out of covenant with the word of God. And you as a child of God have got to make up your mind to say, I will not listen to the voice of something that's out of covenant with God. There'll always be the racket of the world. There'll always be the opinion of the world, and it's always arrogant, and it's always stronger, and it's always so sure of itself. When I listen to some of the things on television today, which I listen to, I don't listen. I'm just going to be honest with you. For those of you that think that I'm out of touch with what's going on, you have lost your CBS network. I'm more in touch with what's going on in the world than I've ever been, but I don't listen to the news on a world basis. I watch the weather locally. I'm wondering if I need to bring you an umbrella, but that's about as far as it goes. I'm not going to listen to the voice of an uncircumcised or something out of covenant with God telling me what tomorrow holds. Now, for God's children, whether you believe this or not, you're separate from the world. You're not part of the world anymore. You've been separated out. You've been removed. You've been called. It's called an anointing. And God gives you that anointing. He gives us that anointing through the power of the Holy Spirit when we accept Jesus. When Jesus comes into our heart, He places the anointing of God in us, and it's a seal. It's a royal print or seal that says, I am a child of God. When he talks about the anointing, he's talking about clothing ourselves with Jesus. When you read Romans, if you'll find Romans chapter 13, verse 14, it's an interesting thing. Chapter 13 of the book of Romans is a great scripture, but at the very end it gives an instructive tone to it. Chapter 13, verse 14 in the NIV of the book of Romans says this, listen to this, rather, this means an alternative to living like the world. Rather, clothe yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ. Clothe yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to this. Clothe yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ. Cover yourself head to toe. Rather, clothe yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the sinful nature. Sometimes the voice of Goliath will say, just come over here. Just surrender and we'll give you a place to live and a home and everything will be great. Every time it got tough in the desert, and this is, I can't really criticize Israel because I'm afraid I might have fallen into this trap a time or two, and I hate to admit it, but I have fallen into this trap a time or two. When things get bad, I say, God, where are you? When things get hard, I'm thinking, why am I doing this? Israel would say to Moses on occasions, it would be better that we go back to Goshen, back to Egypt, and eat the garlic and the leeks and the onions that they had that at least put flavor in our food than to be out in the middle of this desert place without any hope or any direction. You see, they saw the place where God had them as hopeless. They thought that Satan had put them there, and they thought that they'd sinned against God, and they were ready to go back and give up in the pursuit of getting the promise of God. Satan will do everything in his power to discourage you from the pursuit of the promise of God. He'll do everything he can. He'll tell you every possible thing. And I don't care if you've been serving God for 50 years or 100 years or 50 minutes. Satan doesn't change in his nature. I'll never forget, I've told you so many times, the day I accepted Christ, I was 18 years old in my father's church, and I was miserable. I thought I'd lost my soul. I was listening to the voice of the enemy. He convinced me that I was raised in the house of a pastor and spurned the word of God and had done it until God's mercy was gone and I was just living to die and I would go to hell without any remedy. When my mother saw it and took me to church on that Saturday evening and I was so weak, I hadn't eaten in days and I'd heard these voices in my head. You say, well, you were crazy. No, I wasn't crazy. It was the voice of the enemy, and you're not crazy when the enemy tries to tell you there's nothing to this, quit, and there's no hope for you. That is the voice of out of covenant with God. That's the voice of an uncircumcised giant. That's the voice of Satan saying he's greater, but that's a lie. When I went to that altar in that little country church, my father never preached in a church this large. And he preached 33, 34 years leading people to Christ. But I went into that little country church and fell on the ground because I was so weak I hadn't eaten. I was so scared I couldn't stand it. I thought I'd lost my soul without help. When Grandma Johnson was sitting in the front row, the help raised me. Many times I spent the night at her house in my mother's sickness. Many times I slept in the bedroom there and Grandma Johnson would come in as a little boy and kiss me on the head and tell me good night. And what a comfort in Grandma Johnson sitting about where Don is and I'm on the floor. And she said, tell us what's going on. And I told her what I just told you. Grandma Johnson started chuckling. I thought, well, I'm going to hell and Grandma's laughing at me. It's getting worse. I did. I was brokenhearted. And then she said, hold it. I'm not laughing at you. And her face changed. Her expression changed. Her demeanor changed. Because she saw what I was going through. And I'm going to tell you by the Holy Spirit, there are some of you going through it tonight, and God's showing me you're going through it. But I'm here with a change of expression and a change of a demeanor and a powerful word from God. She said, listen to me. Every morning, She was in her high 80s. She said, every morning I wake up and swing my feet off on the cold floor. And Satan comes to me, this powerful, stalwart child of God. I thought she was one of the greatest warriors in the kingdom. She was a 4-star general in the army of God. She said, every morning when I swing my feet off on the cold floor, Satan comes to me and says, Ethel, you're lost and you're going to hell. And she said, son, every morning by the power of the Holy Ghost, I say to him, Satan, you're a liar, and I've been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ, and he goes his way, and I go mine. You'll never escape the voice of the giant, but you will learn to change your demeanor when he comes. You'll learn to change your attitude when he comes. You'll learn to change you from a mode of listening to a warrior's mode. You'll learn that even in your small stature compared to the massive thing that's coming against you, that God is in you, and he who is within you is greater than those things that are coming against you. You'll learn what this anointing means, that we no longer have an anointing as a covering, but we have this anointing that indwells us at our salvation. That we can speak to it. David destroyed Goliath. He cut his head off. He took his own sword out of his sheath. Goliath didn't even get the sword out. I read slowly. I tell you too. The Word of God says that David ran upon Goliath after he struck him in the head. And when he hit the ground, he drew that sheath, that sword, out of his holder. He removed it. And David cut his head off with his own sword. And then David grabbed him by his grisly head and lifted his hair up. And the blood dripped from the neck of this thing that had defied an entire nation. And he said these words, my God is greater. My God is greater. I will not be taunted by the voice of something out of covenant with God. I will not be directed by something that has no authority over me. I will not listen to the lies of something that doesn't understand the power of the anointing in the life of the believer. And I, 14 years old, the least of all of these, have found that the anointing is enough, regardless of who you are. When you're not a counter, when you're too young to be in, when you're too old to be in, when you're too little to be in, you're not qualified to be in, has nothing to do with the anointing in you for the Goliath that you choose. He said this, rather clothe yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ. When I read this scripture, I started seeing two words that popped into my heart. I read them even in Hebrew and in Latin and in Greek and in Arabic, and you read them all, and it says this, that there's two areas of life. There's the consecrated and the concentrated. I was at the store the other day. Are you kidding? I'm at the store every day. I have a Dollar General right by my house. Every time I leave, I'll say, I'll see you after a while. I was in there the other day getting, and I thought, we need some dishwashing soap, some liquid. And I looked at this Dawn. Oh, that's the one. Dawn washed the oil off the little ducks on the oil spill, and it's powerful. And so I looked at Dawn, and I said, Dawn, Ultra Dawn. And now they got one that says 4X Dawn. Four times the power of the regular old Dawn. greater than the Ultradon. I said, I think if I had a choice, oh, that's okay. I'll just use regular old Don. You know what I bought? Four times. I thought, man, if this stuff comes out in big drops, it might blow my hand off. But I knew one thing. It's four times more powerful. Four times greater. They said it's consecrated. Concentrated. That means there's power in a littler amount. And then I looked at the word consecrate, to surrender ourselves, to give ourselves to God, to honor God in such a way. I consecrate myself to God, and I give Him, and I think, God, when I'm looking at, that's a good combination of words for a believer. We should give ourselves to God and concentrate ourselves to God, consecrate ourselves to God, saying, I'm all yours. And then, Holy Spirit, you come in and concentrate us and make us four times more powerful than we could ever be or think to hope to be by the power of the Holy Spirit. And I'm telling you, that is the availability of every believer here tonight. Every believer here tonight to be consecrated, surrendered, and concentrated in greater measure to God. To clothe ourselves with the, and look at this, it's so powerful. All capitals. Now, if I'm reading from the Old Testament and I tell you this, I'm going to tell you that that is a particular name of God. But in the New Testament or the Second Covenant, as we are, when it says Lord Jesus Christ, that's just a proper noun, and that's the proper way to write it, because that's who He is. He's Lord, He's Jesus, Yeshua, and He's Christ. Oh, by the way, does anyone know what Christ means? It means the anointed one. Clothe yourself with the Lordship of Jesus. Clothe yourself with the Lord. That capital Lord. That is the Lord of all, King of kings, and everlasting Father. That Lord is the word used in Revelation when it said He will come back on a white horse, with His vesture dipped in blood, and on His thigh written, King of kings and Lord of lords, and I will be with Him to destroy forever the wiles of sin. Clothe yourself with Jesus, Yeshua. That word, He's Messiah. He's the Redeemer. It's the same word as Joshua in the Old Testament. It means the Redeemer to come. So I clothe myself with the glorious power of God, with the redeeming power of God, and then I clothe myself with the anointing of God. Let somebody else clothe you. Somebody correct me here, I'm reading this wrong. Let someone else, let a book do it. Let a tape do it. Let a seminar do it. Am I against these things? No. But that's not what the Scripture says. Rather clothe. That's something I got to do. You can't clothe me. I can't clothe you. You can't make me have the power of the Lordship of Jesus Christ in my life. You can't make me have the redemptive power of the name of Jesus Christ. You can't clothe me with the anointing of the anointed one. I have to clothe myself. But the way this is written in Scripture, it's saying it's possible to be done. It's likely to be done. In fact, if you'll do it, it will be done. But you have to do it. You have to do it. Well, Pastor, I just don't know how to do it. Well, you just do it. Well, what do you mean? You determine in your heart, I'm going to serve Christ. I'm going to consecrate my life to Jesus Christ, and I'm going to let Him concentrate the Holy Spirit in me, and I'm going to be used in a greater measure than I thought possible. I want to be clothed with Jesus. Does this do anything in your heart? Does this do anything to say, I'd like to do that? Is there anything that draws you just a little bit and says, man, I'd like to have more of Jesus? Let me tell you, when I studied this, it did me. I've confessed this to you for years, but let me just confess it again. I will never, and I'm using that word as an emphatic word, I will never preach something to you that I have outgrown spiritually. I'll never preach anything to you that I don't need as much as I tell you. I'll never lead you somewhere that I don't desire to be led that same way. For someone to think that I'm preaching from a perspective of having it together, you've lost your mind. I hold on to the very robe, to the very talit, the very threads of the robe of Jesus Christ, and I claim the promises of God, and I see Him fulfilled in my life just like anyone else. That's all. Determining every day. Believing every day. Hearing the voices of the giants, but believing that our God is greater than the voices of the giants. What's the voice of the giants? Discouragement. Yeah. Pardon me. I forgot who I was talking to. None of you have ever been discouraged. I'm sorry. I know you've never been there, but I talked to somebody that was today besides me. You were today, or this morning? I was so burdened for another preacher and his wife that you don't know them, you've never heard of them, they don't live here. They've been done wrong. They've done nothing but serve God. And I thought, oh, God, I was so discouraged. I was broken. I came. I sat with my brothers this afternoon. And I said, guys, I'm sorry I haven't got anything to give you today. I'm just there. I'm broken. I'm discouraged. I had a choice to listen to the voice of discouragement because it's there and it was getting to me, or to stand up and say, I will not allow something out of covenant with God to control me. Now, I didn't jump up like a little religious banny rooster. Bless God, I'm good. No, I didn't do that. I just got up and started walking, knowing that I'm going to have to minister to 70 people that have given their life to Christ in a way that homeschool the kids, they take care of each other, they feed, they travel in faith. God, I'm not going to let the voice of the enemy rob those people of something you've given me for them. I just begin to praise the Lord. I begin to thank Him, and really not with a big heart. I didn't have anything overwhelming me. I didn't have any revival spirit come in me. All I had was my mouth, yourself, small y, just me. I begin to clothe myself with the Lord Jesus Christ. How to do it? I was honest with him. I was honest with those pastors. I'm really discouraged today. I've seen some things happen and it's broken my heart, and I just want to sit down and cry. He said, okay, this is the best place I know. Sit down and cry. You're in safe country. I just talked. And when it came time to go minister, I said this strangest thing, but the wisest thing I could say. I said, Lord, I haven't got a thing in me. And he said, finally. None of you. Now let me clothe you. And when I walked into that room, he clothed me. He clothed me with the righteousness of God. And when you walk into circumstances in your life, when the enemy's screaming at you and telling you defeat, captivity, failure, what's the use? Tired, discouraged. He'll clothe you. When you say, Lord, I need you, I want you. And your want to, that you clothing yourself with Jesus Christ, it's a real, true power that comes from God. It's supernatural, but it's real. It's so real. I walked in that room. I don't know how many of that theater holds, 2,000 people? I don't know. It was dark except for right down at the front. I walked to those people, and I thought, God, there's 1,000 other times I'd rather be speaking to them, feeling 1,000 better ways than I am right now. But all of a sudden, the clothing of the Holy Spirit began to come through. And I'm telling you this, he will you too. It's not just being encouraged when you're discouraged. It's God showing you that the voice of the enemy does not have authority over you because it's out of covenant with God. If I can teach you one thing this evening, one truth that you can put in your heart, is when you hear something that's counter to your growth or your walk, or your relationship with Jesus, are telling you something negative or to give up or turn around or anything to hurt you or despair, anything, anxiety, fear, doubt. If there's anything I can tell you, it's this. With what little bit of strength you have, look up and say, I refuse to let the enemy that's out of covenant with God speak into my life. I'm in covenant with Jesus. That's all you have to do. Are you serious, Pastor? That's it. What will happen? He will take over. He will stand up. He will speak. Instead of running in retreat, you'll run toward your enemy. You'll run toward the voice. You'll run straight toward the voice proclaiming, He is Jehovah God, my Lord and my Savior. That's what David did. That's what you will do, trusting in Him. Anybody come discouraged tonight? I told you I did earlier today. Oh, well, you know, we don't admit that stuff because that's a lack of faith. Anyone that taught you that is theologically wacky. If that was true, David was an absolute failure. Paul was an absolute failure. James was. John was. And all those that were men of God and women of God that had life hit them, and there's sometimes the voice of discouragement comes. But I'm telling you, to admit it doesn't make you less faithful or less strong with God. It's just saying that I don't have any power in myself and I need to clothe myself with Jesus. If you're here tonight, and that's such a silly term, isn't it? Because if you weren't here, you wouldn't be here. I caught myself saying that, and myself said to me, that's kind of silly. You are here tonight, and you're watching online. I'm going to speak to you online right now. The Holy Spirit is where you are this very second. Anywhere in the world, in our country, in our neighborhood, He's where you are, and He's right here with you. And God clothed me with a consecration and a concentration of the Holy Spirit to overcome the enemy's voice in my life today And there's something I found out about David. When he slew Goliath, his anointing became contagious. Seventeen, 18, 19-year-old boys standing shoulder to shoulder that had been there 40 days listening to the voice of Goliath said, isn't that Shammah's little brother? Isn't that Elohim's little? Isn't that Jesse's? He's 14. And the anointing of that scream, that cry from that shepherd boy, you come against me with a sword, but I come against you in the name of Jehovah God. And he ran toward him. He said to each other, if he can do it, I can do it. And they clothed themselves, and the anointing became contagious. And it is right now. It's becoming contagious. That's your son calling us in the middle of church, huh? It's always her son when something's wrong. And he wants to see us in person. Would somebody take this to Ruth? Here, Don, take that to Ruth. Make sure. Oh, you broke the mood. Oh, no, are you kidding me? The Holy Spirit came through me to tell you tonight that you can clothe yourself. That the anointing that God gave me when I was discouraged today has become contagious. And it's in this room, and it's on these airlines right now, and it's going through the waves around the world. This second, the Holy Spirit, the omniscience and omnipresence of God is clothing you right now with strength and power and victory. How many needs to be clothed? If you do, stand up. If you need to be clothed.